and welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings, the podcast where we discuss indie films that we consider to be indie darlings. And this can be for good or bad reasons. The point is, they stand out. Today's special guest is the wonderful comedian, Mary Holland.
Hi!
And Mary, you chose a documentary.
Yes.
A fashion documentary called The First Monday in May.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And for those of you who've never heard of this, this is a documentary about the Met Gala in 2015, and the theme that year was Asian inspiration. And Mary, why did you choose this documentary?
Well, the Met Gala just recently happened, and I was with people the day that it happened. I was with people who were so excited to like see the looks as celebrities arrived, so excited for the red carpet. And it was something I never thought. The most I knew about the Met Gala was like, oh, I remember there was a year that Solange Knowles like punched Jay-Z in an elevator.
Oh, I forgot that was at the Met.
Yeah. I don't know what year that happened, but that's like, I was like, oh, Met Gala. I thought it was like about the opera for a lot, like the, I had no idea what this event was.
Yeah.
But when I was with my friends on that day and they were showing me the pictures of the people as they arrived, and the theme this past year was heavenly bodies.
I think that was my favorite one so far.
Yeah. So it was all about,
religious imagery,
and
a lot of people dressed up as bishops.
I know. My favorite was Zendaya. She dressed as like a Joan of Arc. I don't know if you saw her outfit, but it was stunning. And it was the idea of like fashion as art and fashion as like using this event as kind of a way to like showcase fashion around a certain theme, I think is so cool. So I didn't know much about it. And one of the friends that I was with that day recommended this documentary. And I watched it and I just feel like I learned so much about not only that event, but the just fashion in general and the people who are involved with it and the designers and what fashion means to them. Because there's a lot of conversation in the movie about, is fashion art, and when is fashion art? And, you know, it does live at this intersection of art and commerce. Mm-hmm. So hearing these very knowledgeable people talk about a thing they're so passionate about, I just loved it. And also I love finding out Anna Wintour is such a mystery to me, but she's...
Well, when I asked you what documentary you wanted to watch, you gave me a couple of options. Mm-hmm. It was this one, and the other one was the September issue.
Yes.
And I have seen the September issue, which is also a great documentary.
Yes.
But I chose the First Monday in May because it was about the Met Gala. And the Met Gala is a strange thing in that everyone knows about it all of a sudden.
Right.
But then people don't really know about it.
Right.
Like, because if you were to, I feel like if you were to ask most people, do you know what the Met Gala is? Like, oh yeah, it's that great fashion thing. But I didn't know until I saw this that it's to raise money.
Yeah, it's a fundraiser for the costume.
The costume center in the Met Museum.
Right. Which is run by a really cool man.
Yeah.
Who takes such care with these exhibits. It's also like a means of drumming up public interest in the exhibit. Like the theme of the one in First Monday in May is China through the looking glass.
Yes.
And so it's like, and he talks about how like in 2015 they had that Alexander McQueen exhibit and they have been like trying to get those.
Yeah, they're trying to top it.
Try to get the same number. They got such huge amounts of people to come and visit the museum because of the success of that.
That's like a famous exhibit, the Alexander McQueen Savage Beauty. I think that one has its own documentary too.
Yes. Yes, there is. There's actually a new documentary coming out about Alexander McQueen that I can't wait to watch, because I also didn't know much about him until I saw this
one. A documentary about him that was on YouTube. And he is fascinating.
Yeah.
He's fascinating. And I would have loved to have seen an exhibit by him because it's just, it's so, like, there's one, I just seeing the clips, there's one where a person is, you can't see their face, but they're connected to an oxygen mask.
Right.
And when you open a box, a bunch of butterflies just fly out.
Right. It's the imagery is so different and it's really evocative. Like, it's very... emotion. It's an emotional experience almost.
I think this documentary did a good job of paying somewhat of a homage to McQueen because he committed suicide a couple years ago and he was like a huge thing in the fashion world. But like, so they did pay homage to him, but at the same time, they still wanted to like beat his numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the other, like the Met Gala is like a way of raising money for this part of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, the costume department. But it's also like a means of like getting publicity for this exhibit so that after the gala is over and like for the months that this exhibit is up, the public like is like, oh, we got to go see this.
I feel like people don't really know who's supposed to be going to this.
Right.
Because apparently I thought it was just celebrities, but it's like politicians and celebrities.
Yeah.
Anyone that has any, oh my God. Do you remember the part where they're calling people's agents or whatever and being like, okay, Josh Hart, I wrote down a bunch of quotes. they're talking about Josh Harnett. What's he done lately?
Yeah.
Nothing. Hangs up. And I was like, oh.
I know.
Poor Josh.
It's such an exclusive party invite, like, and you look, like, you see the seating charts and there's not that many.
No,
there's not much,
there's small
room.
Tables.
Yeah.
And so, there's literally a list of people and like Anna's like, what's this? She's like, and her assistant's like, those are people we want to go away.
Right.
There's a list of people they don't want there.
Right.
And I'm like, why is that even a thing? That's so awful. And then poor Chloe 70 is at the uncool kids table.
No. But she's like the one of the most fashionable people
out
there.
She's always going to be at the Met Gala.
Yeah. Yeah. Has to be. I think that is what's so cool about that event. Because you think of the Oscars, which is another like big fashion moment or like the Grammys or whatever. And those are specific to those art forms. But fashion as an art form itself brings so many different.
I feel like. Before the Oscars were considered a high fashion event, but now it's the Met Gala.
Yeah.
It's the most editorial.
Yes.
People take the most risks. This one, the 2015 one, that's when Rihanna wore the famous big yellow dress that got memed to death.
Gorgeous.
Yeah. Like people were saying it looks like scrambled eggs or whatever, but I'm just like, she made a statement.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole purpose of it is to celebrate fashion as an art form. And I think it's so cool to have designers push the envelope and design for celebrities around a certain theme. Like I almost wish the Oscars had a theme every year and
it would be so fun.
Because when these celebrities show up and they've really leaned into the theme, like this year, Rihanna for the Heavenly Bodies theme wore like a Pope.
It's
just so striking and stunning, and it really like the fashion itself makes this statement in addition to making the person who wears it beautiful, and you know everybody's eye goes to him or her.
It's the kind of event where something Lady Gaga would wear would not stand out. Everyone's at their fullest fashion ever.
It's very exciting.
They explore. Okay. So what's interesting about this is like, okay, so it's 2015 and they talk about, I thought it was really interesting how the creators of the Met Gala of that year were trying so hard to portray China in a way that was fashionable,
right,
but not racist.
Right. Right. Yeah. That was really fascinating too, to hear them try to navigate that.
Yeah. They're like, we don't want it to look like a Chinese restaurant.
Right.
But we don't want it to be like tacky.
Yeah.
But we want it there to be fantasy, but we don't want it to be fetishized. And I'm, and as an Asian person, I'm watching this. I'm like, shit. Yeah. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you, how did you feel about like the final product? Did you,
I think it was very tasteful.
Yeah.
Because I saw the options they had. Like they had, you see these different drafts they go through of just establishing the opening hallway.
Right.
And the first one they had was like dragons on the side. And I'm like, I mean, I guess that's okay. But that they ultimately ended up choosing just bamboo walls. And it's when you see the final product, I was like, oh, this was smart.
Yeah. It's so much more like subtle and elegant and like a nod to this culture without like feeling exploitative or something.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so one of the art directors was Wong Kar-wai, mm-hmm. and he's a famous Chinese director.
Yes. Oh, he was so cool.
Yeah.
He was fascinating.
He, oh man, his thought process, I'm just like, yeah, yeah.
I agree with it. Right.
It was so hard to disagree with, because the people, everyone interviewed in this documentary was at the top of their game.
Mm-hmm.
It's John Galliano, Wong Kar-wai, Anna Wintour. I feel bad. I didn't write down the name of the guy that was running it.
Oh yeah, it's Andrew something. I can't remember his last name either. But and then there was the Chinese designer who like.
Oh, I wrote down her name.
Her work was so stunning.
Yao Pei.
Yes. Yao Pei. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So beautiful.
She made the most amazing dresses.
Yes.
Like just real standout pieces. Okay, so this it was about the background of the Met Gala,
mm-hmm.
why they formed the Met Gala.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so fascinating to see how it turned into this cultural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And they're saying that's because of Anna Wintour.
Right. Which is why I think she's such a striking figure to me, because there's the kind of Devil Wears Prada perception of her.
Well, they show an interview with her where she gets interviewed being like, so how does it feel to know one of your former assistants wrote the Devil Wears Prada about you?
Mm-hmm.
And she just smiles this smile like you knew she flipped a table when
it happened. Yeah. I can only imagine what that would be like for her because of course, she's a very powerful woman, and she's doesn't mince words. She's like strong and has very strong opinions, and she doesn't feel the need to like sugarcoat anything or be nice.
There's a part where she's walking into an office and there's a LCD screen display, and she's like, "This is making me violently ill."
Right.
And I was like, wow.
She's just very direct. But I think we're so not, it's again exploring this, that in a woman,
mm-hmm.
and how that is for some people off-putting. Mm-hmm. Whereas we see that those qualities in a man and you're like, oh.
Yeah, he's just passionate.
He's passionate. Mm-hmm. And he's like, he knows what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think she comes off as guarded to us because there's not, and like cold, because there's this perception of what it looks like when a woman is in power, and how you're still supposed to retain these more feminine, submissive, be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you can be powerful, but be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't feel like she is bound by any of those expectations.
I feel like she found, because she has her own, because they're talking, someone says, I think it was Andre Leon was saying she could retire now and she'll still be an icon.
Yeah.
And I think that she uses this mystery and fear surrounding her to her advantage.
I think so too. Like wearing the sunglasses and she has forged so many, like this being such a big event in the fashion world and being the what it has become and how much money it's raised for the museum. It's all about how exclusive she's made mm-hmm. it feel.
Everyone wants Anna to like them.
Yes, and everyone wants an invite to her party.
Yeah, and it's crucial to have someone like that, like, because there's a part in this documentary where they're trying to figure out the budget, And Rihanna has a huge posse and they're like, we can't afford this.
Right.
And they're like, can you get Anna to shoot her a message being like, can you lower your cost?
Yeah.
And I'm like, if Anna Wintour asked me to lower my cost, I think I might do it.
Yeah. Because also she's like not like a parental figure, but she's an authority figure in to so many celebrities where she's the editor of the most influential fashion publication on the planet. Mm-hmm. You get a cover of Vogue as a celebrity and you're like, that's a huge career.
I remember there was a huge thing. It was a huge thing when she finally put Kim Kardashian on the cover.
Oh, yeah. When was that?
It was right when her and Kanye got married.
Right.
And everyone's like, oh, my God.
Right. It gives
validity.
Validity and legitimacy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's like you're being taken seriously suddenly.
Yeah, because people are like, oh, she's a joke, whatever. But then when she's on the cover of Vogue, everyone's like, oh, we have to take her seriously now.
Right. Yeah. I think Anna Wintour is doing – she's doing these, like – She's making these moves that we don't see being people who are just like in the world and aren't necessarily in these fashion circles, but they're affecting our lives. Like the formation of the Met Gala and the event that it is, it's become a thing for us to watch and be inspired by. And it's like, it is trickling down the effects of it.
Well, another thing about this documentary is it talks about, even though fashion is considered a commodity, it is a reflection of society.
Mm-hmm.
So I do feel like the China Through the Looking Glass, the whole theme and the welding, the fashion, it does show that this country and along with other countries are struggling to unite with China.
Mm.
We're struggling to get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Like even now, I just saw an episode of Last Week Tonight, where they're talking about the president of China and how we're still struggling to know them.
Yeah.
And it's a sign of the times. And it's affecting society in ways we're not completely aware of.
No. Another thing that I thought that I was really interested to see was how when Anna and Andrew, who was the curator of the Costume Institute, when they went to China to like speak with the ambassadors and the kind of to lay out what their vision was of the show and get a sense of how these representatives of China felt about how their culture was being represented, and hearing this, over and over, they're like, we don't want to be looking backwards. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not representative of what China is now. This is representative. Like, there was, because they were going to have, like, a room or, like, a statue or something having to do with Mao.
Yeah.
And they're like, Mao is not, let's not look at that.
Yeah.
Let's not look at that part of our past. That's not a part of who we are now.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we feel like this is a part of getting to know, you know, China.
What was
as
so
it's been through all the ages.
Interesting is watching Andrew, because it's a meeting. Wong Kar Wai is there and Andrew's there, and hearing them talk, I'm like, oh, you guys are so good at this.
Yeah.
Because basically you're talking to Chinese ambassadors who are saying, we don't want a hallway. Because they're one of their ideas they had is, instead of a gallery filled with Ming vases, they're going to replace them with statues of Mao. And the Chinese government was like, no. And like, let's look to the future. And then there's this awkward moment where Wong Kar Wai is like, and what is that? Mm-hmm. And they're just silent. Because there's nothing as iconic as that.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, Wong Kar Wai very eloquently but also decisively says, like, to get to know China, you have to know the past.
Right.
And I was like, oh, you're good at what you do.
Yes. And it's true. Like, to be able to move forward in any sense, you have to understand where you came from. And that's part of, as this exhibit being in America, and like you were saying, like us getting to know who is China and what is, what, how can we better understand this, this culture and these people. So much of that, it, like, I think it's beautiful to use fashion to tell that story. Mm-hmm. And that is acknowledging the past.
Yeah.
Like the uniforms of, you know, the soldiers, that Mao was, you know, commanding. And
there's just an, you see the celebrities walk in and there's a Chinese Mao uniform on a mannequin. And there's a part where Justin Bieber goes, how do you think I'd look in that?
Ugh, and I'm Justin like, Bieber, insufferable just, in this documentary.
Just so punchable.
So punchable.
Like he's walking in with his little crew and being like, you guys ready to rock it?
I know. It was just so,
you're
there
in
was
an
no,
art gallery.
Yeah, there was no acknowledgement of like, oh, this, maybe this isn't about me. Maybe I can be humbled and try to understand what this exhibit is, what the message of this exhibit, like he had no interest in that. He was like goofing off. Ugh, I found him to be just utterly despicable.
Yeah, I was just like, ugh.
So gross. And he gets invited. I want to go.
I know. I would have loved to have gone. I would have happily been one of the people helping yes. Rihanna with her dress.
Oh, God, me too.
This is also the year Sarah Jessica Parker wore this crazy hat.
I feel like that's become her tradition. She always wears these crazy hats.
Yeah, her crazy headpiece.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like it borders on British wedding, royal wedding of level of craziness.
Right.
It looked like a giant, like, not the cavity creeps, but what does it look like? What is it? Like a something like a Frozen costume. Like
I
can't even describe it, but just a giant flame is what it kind of looked like.
Yeah.
And let me see. There's just so much that happens in this documentary. Also, what's crazy is like, okay, so this is the Met Gala and it's run with some of the most powerful people in fashion. So you think this is going to be crazy organized.
Mm-hmm.
No, they show a countdown of how much time they have to put the exhibit together. And they put, it goes from like 2 weeks to like 2 days.
Yeah. There was some issue with like the shipment of some part of building certain exhibit. Like I think it was the lights that were taking so long or something.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it felt super chaotic there at the end.
I would be terrified to be working there because if something went wrong at the Met Gala, because you had 2 days to put it together, and just like I've only briefly worked in art galleries, but 2 weeks to 2 days is just, I would cancel the show.
You worked in art galleries?
Briefly. Wow. Well, my background, in college, I studied fine art.
I see.
So I had internships in art galleries, and then at the end, we had to do our own show and install it ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
So the idea of doing an entire gallery in 2 days is just like, ugh.
And there were so many rooms. Like, it felt like... the other thing is that it took place in the Asian history, Asian artifacts wing of the Museum of Art.
Yeah,
They like used those halls with those statues and the, you know, the pottery and they kind of worked around it and set up these displays.
It was also like a huge exhibit. They were saying it's like three times the size of a regular fashion show.
Right, right. Because there's, so much to showcase.
Oof, good Lord. And these are not simple displays. They're like very...
The displays themselves are pieces of art. Like, not even just what they're displaying, but like how they do it and like how they use light to do it. And
There's a part where you see someone take a mirror, put it in a bowl of water, break it.
Oh, they break it. Yeah.
And then I'm like, what? What is this? And then you see them shine a light on it and it's like, it's now a display. And I'm like, holy crap.
It creates this visual, like you're underwater or something. Mm-hmm. It's very cool.
Yeah. Everything in it's high concept.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What's interesting is like, okay, so they interview a lot of fashion designers like Karl Lagerfeld, Galliano, Givenchy, I think.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And what's so interesting is they're like, and they're having a fashion show at a museum and they're still not considered art, which right. is so insane to me.
Right. I mean, yeah, I think that's the question always as artists in any medium, I think, is where does the definition of art begin and end when there's commerce involved, when yeah. there's commercial production involved? Like, I think that's, we ask ourselves that question with movies, with, you know, with books, with all kinds of art. It's where, if it's commercial, is it still art? To me, in my perception, especially of, I think in all mediums, is yeah, it is, because it's still a form of expression. Fashion in particular is so individual, and even if the designer is producing, let's say, a t-shirt, it's produced on this mass scale, it's very commercial. Maybe that designer is like, that's just a t-shirt. I don't feel like that's art. But I'm going to use that t-shirt and be like, this feels like me. And I'm going to wear this because this is like how I want people to see this part of me. This is like who I feel like I am in on whatever small scale.
It's interesting because Karl Lagerfeld refuses to call himself an artist, but they're talking about how the level of intricacy that goes into his clothes, they're like, he's putting himself in there. There's a level of intricacy in his embroidery that it's just like, no one asked him to do that. He didn't have to do that.
Yeah. I really don't understand why you wouldn't consider yourself an artist in that, because you're designing it. It's born from your brain. It's a creative expression. Yeah, that was that kind of stubbornness to not call himself that was strange to me.
I think it's interesting because like the world of fashion is also so mixed in with the world compared to like other arts and other like textile medias. It's very much attuned with like superficial culture,
right?
Pop culture,
right?
And I think that's why people tend to not take it too seriously. But because there's a couple of moments in like, okay, so another thing with fashion documentaries, like besides getting amazing visuals, they're going to always be shot beautifully. This one was no exception, but there's good, they take it very seriously. But if they also have moments where they're a little self-aware, because I love the moment where you see them freaking out over the guest list. Yeah, and just like being like, we can't have like unpopular people, too many unpopular people at this table.
Right.
Like, who are they going to talk to?
Right.
And I'm like, it's so superficial, you almost can't take it personally.
Yeah. I mean, it's the politics of like at a dinner party, who did the host decide to sit me next to and like why?
Yeah. And what have they done lately?
Yeah. And what does that mean for my social standing? And yeah.
Oh, did you, there was a moment where they're talking about seating arrangements and where she's like, well, and then Harvey can sit over here. I think they're referring to Weinstein.
Oh, yeah, they were. I mean, that made my, that made me catch my breath. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, this was 2015.
And he was still this mega mogul.
Yeah, and she referred to Harvey, like the person, him in a way that being like, oh, we have to make sure he's taken care of. And right. I'm just like, oh God.
No, we don't.
And now you're going to jail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was
so upsetting. Well, definitely. There is a part where they show the red carpet event and the celebs coming in. And there's a part where Larry David comes in. He's like, he looks at all the photographers and goes, "The fuck is this?"
Yeah. It's also there's something so dramatic about it, because when you come into this red carpet, you go up this staircase and you stand on the staircase, and your dress with your long train goes down the stairs, and the photographers line the staircase, and there's something so grand about it. It's mm-hmm. so much more, it's so much more like, has so much more of an impact than just a red carpet, like at the Oscars, where you just like walk down a red carpet, like, and there's photographers lining, you know, mm-hmm. there's something about it being on a staircase that feels like you're ascending into something. You're, you know, making a bigger entrance. This is epic.
Yeah, because you get your outfit, but you get it at different angles.
Right.
Not just like back and front, but like from above, from below. You get to see the fabric as it drapes over the mm-hmm. stairs.
Yeah.
Oh, God. If I try to think, like, if I were ever to go to one of these, what would I wear?
Right. I know. I don't know.
I'm like,
it would have to be. Well, that's the thing, is that designers, I think this is my understanding of how it works. Like, a designer will buy a table, which is like $500,000 or something, mm-hmm. and they will decide who they want to dress. So mm-hmm. it's like, oh, Emma Stone and
yeah.
so Brie Larson and all these, I'm going to dress them. And so they'll design dresses. Like, Galliano will have a table, and he'll, all of his designs will be at that table. So if I, when I go, not if,
when you go,
I mean, I think you get dressed, like you mm-hmm. sort of would, hopefully a designer would choose you and then dress you.
I wonder, cause I'm a big baby when it comes to fashion. Like, I love fashion, but at the same time, I can't rock heels and stuff like that. Like, I'm wearing Crocs right now.
Yeah.
But
they're very fashionable Crocs, though.
They're bright yellow.
Yeah. They're statement Crocs.
I wonder if Sarah Jessica Parker, she's like, my thing's going to be hats.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. She played a character for so long who was such a fashion icon that mm-hmm. I think that's bled over, and now she is a fashion icon.
Yeah, people expect it.
Yeah, people expect it of her.
Let me see. Oh, I thought it was really funny because Rihanna, she's at the Met, but she's also performing.
Mm-hmm.
And she performs Bitch Better Have My Money.
Right.
And it's at a charity event. And I thought that was just a very funny contrast.
Very, very funny. I mean, but that's why all those people were there. It's almost like the Met, the museum is saying to everybody there, like, bitch, you better have my money. Like, mm-hmm. we threw this thing. You better, like, I felt like it was really appropriate. Mm-hmm. And you know what? They do have the money.
They did get the money.
Because guess what? Rihanna has money. Okay?
Yeah.
Guess what? They do have it.
I'm curious. I was never clear how this event makes money. But I'm sure it does.
It's the selling of the seats, basically. It's like you get, it's that idea of the designer buying a table,
mm-hmm.
or like H&M bought one of the tables,
yeah,
and they populate it with these celebrities. So I'm sure there are celebrities who buy tickets themselves, but I think it's mostly like
invite only.
Yeah, oh yeah, like designers buy, like, I heard that it was for a seat at one of the tables, it's $30,000.
Whoa.
So if you're a designer and you're like, okay, I want a table of 8 seats. Okay. So I'll pay, this is like what that amount costs to have a table and have your work be seen mm-hmm. by all these people.
Wow.
So I think, yeah, that's how they raise so many millions, because it's, everybody wants to go. There's only so many spots, so they can really jack up the price.
Oh, man. But yeah, I thought this was a wonderful documentary. It was very informative,
mm-hmm.
But also like self-aware
And shot really beautifully, like you said.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. All the clothes look lush.
They really do.
Mm-hmm.
It's eye candy.
Also, just seeing the way the people there interact with each other, I'm very aware that I could never work there.
Like at Vogue, you mean?
Or at the museum.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I couldn't do this.
No.
No.
No. It really.
Like, I would get an ulcer so quickly.
Has a lot of opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Mary, if someone mm-hmm. liked this film, what other films would you recommend? It could be documentary or not.
Yeah, I recommend the September issue, which mm-hmm. you mentioned at the beginning. That is a really great documentary. I think it was on HBO. I'm not sure.
I think it's on Netflix now.
Oh, good. But it's a look at how Vogue produces their September issue, which is their biggest issue, the most, like, it's kind of the seminal issue of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great. That's a really fun fashion documentary. I also recommend, I think it's Inside the Editor's Eye. I believe that's the name. It's something the Editor's Eye, but that's another documentary about Anna Wintour and, how she as an editor approaches fashion and, really, really good stuff. Devil Wears Prada. And also, I would say Ocean's 8, because that just came out. Because
oh yeah, doesn't it take place at the Met Gala?
It takes place at the Met Gala, mm. and it's very, very fun. Like, if you watch this documentary and then go watch that, it's so fun, because Andrew, the curator of the costume wing of the Metropolitan Museum of Art, he makes a cameo, and like you see all these familiar faces and like. It's really fun. So highly recommend.
I would recommend all of the movies you just named. And I would also weirdly recommend The Phantom Thread.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
I need to
see that.
Yeah. The level of passion that goes into clothing mm-hmm. is portrayed very well in that film. And I'm trying.
Oh. And it's exploring like artists and their muses too, right?
Which, yeah.
I think a lot of fashion designers have their muses, like actresses or models. Or
like Alexander McQueen, Kate Moss was a big muse of his.
Right.
I'm trying to think of another famous muse and model.
Anne Hathaway, I think, with Valentino.
Oh, really?
He dresses her all the time, yeah.
That is so interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. It's really cool, that relationship. Yeah, I got to watch it.
Well, we're nearing the end of our podcast. Mary, mm-hmm. is there anything you'd like to plug?
Yeah, I'm performing at UCB every week with JV, Soundtrack, ASCAT, and Wild Horses is once a month there. And then Wild Horses, my improv team, we also do shows at Largo each month.
Largo's a great theater if you guys haven't
gone.
It's
great. You got to check it out.
Lots of funny stuff happening there, guys.
Yep.
Well, thanks for joining us. And if you liked what you heard, you can like and or subscribe, write a review for us on Apple Podcasts. And you could email us at indiedarlingspodcast@gmail.com. Questions or recommendations for what new film we should talk about. And you could check us out on Instagram and Twitter at Indie Darlings Podcast. And have a Indie Darling of a day.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, this is Will Hines.
And this is Kevin Hines.
We are co-hosts of the podcast Screw It, We're Just Gonna Talk About Spider-Man.
You love Spider-Man, so listen to us as we go over his original 1960s comic books, where you'll meet all of these characters for the very first time.
Dr. Octopus.
Aunt May.
J. Jonah Jameson.
Fancy Dan.
Also, we're brothers, so that's cool.
Yeah, listen to Screw It, We're Just Gonna Talk About Spider-Man. New episodes every Wednesday.
On Campfire Media.
Campfire.